Welcome to Prophecy Radio, the Percy Jackson podcast that will keep you up to date on all things Rick Riordan and Rick Riordan Presents, including upcoming books, adaptations, and more. My name is Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode number 145. And last week we lied to you because we said that we were going to be talking about Percy Jackson and the Olympians season one ahead of the show, but the trailer came out.
So we're going to talk about the trailer.
So season two trailer discussion is what we're going to chat about today. Last episode came out super duper late because Karen was avoiding it. Just in case you guys didn't see, we did have to say goodbye to Callie. It sucked.
Yeah.
It was really hard, but yeah. It was also absolutely the right call. If you want to see, like, the full kind of explanation of what happened and a bunch of really cute pictures of her.
A ton of super cute pictures.
Yeah.
I need to make a post just so you can, like, save all of the ones I have, because I have so many pictures of Callie over
true.
The years, including a couple of videos of her playing her little, like, batting game.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, I need to send all this to Karen.
I haven't been able to watch any videos yet.
Understandable.
I've looked at, like, a bunch of her pictures, but the videos, I'm like, too soon.
Understandable.
But yeah, you can find all of that on my personal Instagram page, and I, like, what's it called, like, reposted that onto the Prophecy Radio page, which I thought would mean it would show up, like, on our regular page, but it doesn't. It's this, like, own section.
Yeah.
Which is kind of annoying, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'll probably end up posting, like, I have a picture of her with, I think it's Chalice of the Gods. And so I think I might post that just so, you know, everybody kind of knows what happened, what's going on, and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yes. So, still totally.
That's been hard. It made it a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life, my life right now, you guys, not even kidding you, is like, I don't even know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
My life is just so chaotic. I'll be in Mexico in 2 days, so
which
I guess,
I'm really excited for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I mean, it's either literally the worst timing in the world or the best timing. I'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
It did snow today, though, so I am very happy to be going to Mexico.
Yeah.
If I make it there, given all the thing with the planes and flights getting canceled
yes.
and stuff like that, so.
Just, I would say check in for your flight, keep checking on your flight,
yeah.
because you never know. But yeah, we got like almost two inches, and it could possibly snow more, and yeah, what is
yeah.
going on?
And it's like a heavy, wet snow.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to snow today, but I thought it'd be, like, flurries, not even stick to the ground. No, it, like, snowed.
Yeah, like, usually our first snow is just, like, yeah, little light dusting. It's
yeah.
like, hey, no, it decided to, like, actually snow for the first one.
Yeah, kind of rude, but,
yeah, super rude.
You know, what can you do about it? What else? I feel like, I don't know. I'm still just blaming Set. I think that chaos is just raining these days, and
it does certainly seem like it, doesn't it? There's
yeah.
just a lot of chaos going on at the moment.
There really is.
And then there's all the you know, personal things. Like, there's chaos going on in the world, and then all of your personal stuff is a little bit chaotic, too, and it's like, I can't take anymore.
Yeah.
My Alex and I are supposed to go to a wedding on Saturday that's outdoors.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
An outdoor wedding in the middle of November? Also, that's hilarious. First of all, that's my birthday.
Yeah.
And secondly, Kayla's sister, Nicole, is getting married on the 16th.
That's really funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, it's Alex's friend, Sarah.
Oh, okay.
Who was at our wedding. I don't know why she's getting married outside in November
yeah.
in Ohio. Supposedly there's going to be blankets. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the reception is inside.
Blankets at a wedding? It's just.
I know. I'm pretty sure the reception is inside, but
I
the
would
service
hope so.
Itself is like outside, the actual ceremony. So yeah, it's going to be an adventure. It's supposed to get up to 50 like this week. Like,
yeah.
It's not supposed to be snowy all week. Like, we got snow today. It's supposed to possibly snow through, like, 1 a.m. or
mm-hmm.
something. And then it should warm up. And hopefully it'll be like 50 or 55 on Saturday.
Which really isn't too bad.
No, it's
not. But also, like, if you're in a dress and so... My cousin got married in January. It was inside. In New Jersey, though, like...
Yeah.
You already know how I feel about New Jersey. And, like... she wanted, like, a winter wonderland type of wedding, which, like, in theory sounds super pretty.
Definitely.
But, like, I do not want to get married in January. Like,
definitely
that
not.
Feels...
No, thank you.
Awful.
I am a summer girl, but loves fall. So,
yeah.
Like, I love summer, but I also really love fall. So, I kind of knew I'd either, basically, either get married in the summer or the fall. We ended up getting married in the fall.
Yeah.
So, it worked.
Yeah. I will say, though, if you're... anniversary is like in January, that's a great excuse to pop off to somewhere warm.
Super,
you know?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
So
especially if you're not having a big ceremony or something and it doesn't really matter, then getting married in January, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, we're going out of town for our
and I'm sure that's yeah. like way cheaper too. Like
yeah.
I know the girls got married in March specifically because that was also, like, way cheaper than even just like a month or two later.
Well, and this is a teensy bit inside baseball, but like we get an extra discount if you book, like, at Marriott. You get an extra discount if you book your stuff between November and January, the end of January. If you travel in those months, you get an extra heavy employee discount because nobody uses the hotels.
Oh.
Like, over the holidays, no one's in hotels. It's the weirdest thing because
that
you think it would be the opposite, but
right.
it's not. Christmas is dead zone for hotels.
Because probably people are staying with family. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Everyone stays with family, or if they don't, they're in and out in a day or two, and then they're back home or whatever.
Right.
Like, you get people, like, you have a handful of guests, but, like, hotels are dead over the holidays. Thanksgiving is another one where, like, there's almost nobody in the hotel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you ever... are looking to, like, take advantage of some downtime at a hotel over the holidays. Just tell your family, like, we want to postpone the holiday by a week. Go on Christmas Day because there's not going to be anybody there.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
And rates are always really low. This
mm-hmm.
time, like, the November to, like, January, that's when you're going to find some of the lowest rates of the year.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Another thing I just remembered was you got to meet Deidre and Kayla.
I did, yes.
The last
oh,
time.
Yes.
Yeah. It was kind of weird because we went to trivia and it was so loud. And first of all, the it wasn't normal trivia. It was Name That Tune, which we all hate.
And they changed it at the last minute.
Yeah.
Like, I got there early. I asked the lady, you guys are doing trivia tonight, right? She goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the guy was like 10 minutes late and he goes, hey, we're not doing trivia tonight. We're doing Name That Tune. And it's like... Hold up.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like somebody may have canceled, like the host
yeah,
canceled.
I think something
and they
happened,
scrambled
and...
to get somebody there at the last minute.
Yeah.
And he was doing Name That Tune the next day, so he already had that prepped, so that's what he did.
Yeah.
We still had a good time, but like it was a little weird.
And so we didn't get to like talk, but like I'm just so happy you finally got to meet them after like
yeah.
10 years and
we get to talk a little. It was
yeah.
yeah. No, I was really, really happy to be able to actually meet them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was really, really lovely because they're lovely people.
Yeah.
And it was nice.
We had a great Halloween and just, like, ate a bunch of food and candy and drank a lot and just kind of hung out. We did not go out. Like, we had so many plans. And I was like, there's, like, 3 bar crawls and, like, these parties that we could go to. That sounds kind of fun. Like, we don't really do that kind of stuff. By the time I rolled around, all of us were like... You want to just stay in tonight? And I was like, yes, actually, I do. I do not feel... And then my hairdresser was downtown on Friday night on Halloween, dressed up, and she was like, it was a madhouse.
Oh,
there were, like, bars with lines around the corner, and I was like, glad I didn't go. I'm too
yeah.
old for that.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been cool to, like, be in the atmosphere, but, like, no thanks.
It's one of those things. It's, like, when Alex and I travel, we tend to choose, like, one thing a day that we want to do.
Mm.
Whether it's, like, we want to go to this museum, we want to go do this. We've learned that if we try to pack more than one thing into a day, like, if we do 2, 3, 4 things... We end up just absolutely exhausted the next day, and then we don't want to leave the hotel room the next
yeah.
day. And I'm like, well, maybe we need to start, like, we're older. We're not 20-somethings. Like, we are going to be tired sometimes. So we've started, A, incorporating hotel days where we don't leave and we just stay in and relax and take advantage of, you know, all the fun stuff in the room, but, like, also kind of decompress a little bit so that we can do all of the fun stuff on our trips, too. So, like, yeah. The older you get, the more you value, like, your home and your home space and how comfortable you are. And it's just, there's nothing better than just, like, staying in and watching a movie and getting cozy on the couch and, you know, having treats and
I can just imagine, like, the teenagers and 20-somethings listening to us right now being like, oh, my God, how old are they?
Like, when I was 20, all I wanted to do was go out.
Yeah.
You know, and I did, and it was fun, but, like, now.
I was going to say, when I was 20, I didn't want to go out either, actually. I kind of just stayed in my, like, dorm room in college and ate mac and cheese. You know, that was my idea of a good time.
Hey.
But I will say that is a good idea, though, because when they were here, we kind of, like, did a bunch of things in one day, and then the next day would be, like, our decompressed day. Like, let's just stay home and, like, play board games and stuff. Yeah. And then by the following day, usually we're ready to, like, go do more stuff again.
Yeah.
And when Kevin and I went to New Orleans, we kind of, I am not good at, like, just winging it, and that's how he lives his entire life. And we had this really great, like, meet in the middle moment where I had, like, made a list of all the things, like, we could do and wanted to go do. And then on that day, we kind of were like, what do we feel like doing today? What do we have the energy for? And that ended up working out perfectly because he didn't have to plan too far ahead, but I still kind of had a plan in the back of my mind, and I was like, all right, we're getting this thing down.
We work a little bit similarly, Alex and I. Alex is a planner to the nth degree. Like, anytime we're going on a trip, he's the one who has a doc of all of the restaurants we want to go to, all of the things we want to do, which days we kind of want to, you know, save for this or this or this or this. He likes the organization, and he loves digging all that information up. I cannot stand looking at Yelp reviews of restaurants.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I know it's useful information, and I'm very grateful that it's there. I don't want to look at it. I just get so much anxiety, and I just become completely, like, kerfuffled over the whole thing.
And doesn't Alex love Yelp?
Oh, he loves Yelp.
Yeah.
He is a regular Yelp reviewer. Like, he's got a very high rating. And
I don't think I told you this, but I was looking up some restaurant. Like, this was probably, like, months ago, maybe even a year ago at this point, and his name popped up as, like, one of the reviewers, and it talked about, like, taking his girlfriend there. I was like, I don't know who that is.
Yep. Yeah. He's a good regular on, especially the Toledo area, but he's pretty good about doing it, even for stuff we visit. Like, he'll put reviews up. He's a regular on Yelp, and it cracks me up because I'm the opposite. When we're going on a trip, I can only think about packing and, like, what do we need for the trip? Like, I want to make sure we have everything we need, whereas he's like, we can just buy it. And I'm like, no, you need to take what you need so that you don't have to go shopping and buy things, because then you're not on vacation. You're running errands.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's got the planning mindset. I've got the packing mindset.
Yeah.
Usually, he just puts all of his clothes and stuff out on the bed, and I pack his suitcase because otherwise things will get forgotten.
I feel like that's a good, like,
it is. And he usually unpacks.
Right.
Because unpacking is my catharsis, antithesis, I don't know, something like that. I absolutely hate unpacking. I will put it off and put it off and put it off until I need those clothes, and then they end up washed. He hates that.
I kind of like unpacking, too, because I feel like I'm putting everything back in its place, or, like, you just throw the clothes in the dirty laundry, and, like, Kevin definitely takes forever to unpack, and it'll be, like, a month later, and we have somewhere else to go, and I'm like, that bag is still full.
Yeah. So he kind of pushes me to unpack. I push him to pack.
Yeah.
He makes the plans. I help make the choices, like, hey, let's do this today or whatever. It's very similar, so that is really funny, actually.
That is super funny.
Opposites, man.
Yeah. So if you would like to get into contact with us to talk about, animals, you can send us your pet pictures. I would still very much love that. Traveling. Percy Jackson. What else did we talk about? Mexico. That's traveling.
Talked about a lot of things, but I can't remember anything.
I feel like that was like a Spitfire catch-up.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Do you like to pack or unpack? Or maybe both? I don't know. Let us know. You can get into contact with us at Prophecy Radio Podcast on Instagram or email us at prophecyradiopodcast@gmail.com. We do have a couple pieces of news today before we get into our main segment. So take it away, Kristen.
Yes. So first of all, Rosie, as in Rosie Rambles, as in our beloved author. Karen met Rosie just very, very recently.
Yeah.
That was in Columbus, right?
It was, yeah.
She got married, and I was just so excited for her. It popped up for me on my feed the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, she looks so pretty.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
Her dress was super pretty, and she said it was handmade by her auntie.
Yes, I was like, that is amazing.
Yeah, she looked really, like, I loved her hair, and I think she had, like, a flower in her hair or
something. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, super pretty. It looked like a small, intimate, like, really sweet wedding. And I'm just really, really happy for her.
Yeah.
And we just wish you all the best. And yay. And
Hopefully, fingers crossed, we will have her on the podcast again soon.
Yes. That would be absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, you can see pics of her wedding on her Insta. And it just looked like a really great day for her. So we wanted to make sure to congratulate her. Okay, so we also, we got a trailer. Did you guys see the trailer?
Yeah.
That's the news?
Wow.
We'll do more on that later since this whole episode is going to be about the trailer, but I had to at least mention it because it is the biggest news item of the day. But yeah, really excited to check that out for sure. Also, in case you haven't seen it, I know we're going to get into this. Rick's, when he shared it on Threads, he said, by the way, the wedding dress is coming.
Okay.
He made a mention of the... So I, like, went into the trailer having not seen it, having not seen anything yet. I knew that we weren't going to see the wedding dress, and it's all Rick's fault.
Okay. All right.
I'm blaming Rick.
Dang it.
Yeah. So, if you are mad that you didn't see it, tell Rick, because it's all his fault.
Yeah.
But yeah, that made me laugh, because I was like, that is the... We've all been talking about that since... You know, Comic-Con and before.
Right.
People have been talking about seeing the wedding dress, and he gave us the snippet right up to it at Comic-Con. Like, we got that that one scene that was, like, leading us to the wedding dress that we didn't get to see because we weren't there, but, like, we knew where it cut off because everyone was so frustrated, and apparently we still don't get to see it.
Yeah.
Moving right along, the official London cast recording of The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical, is officially live on streaming, so you can go and check that out anywhere you stream tunes. You can also pre-order their CD. It's available December 5th, and you can do that. You can check it out at Percy Jackson on Stage on Insta. They have all the info on there, and it'll basically lead you to the website where you can pre-order. But I was like, that's really exciting, and they had it kind of playing in the background of the Insta post or whatever. And I know that I heard the Broadway version, and it, like, it's interesting how those are different. Like, I'm sure it's, you know, it's just singers doing their thing. Like, every singer sings something different.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was kind of neat to hear the slight differences and the things that change a little bit from production to production. So, yeah, so if you're interested in that, definitely check that out. Last but not least, the trio did a cute little interview with MTV about music and their characters. Like, kind of talked about, like, do they use playlists to get into character? Mm. And then they also talked about, like, what music you think your characters would like.
Okay.
I know Leah said that her getting into character playlist has a lot of, like, Mary J. Blige and, like, stuff like that on it.
I can
which
see that.
Which totally works, yes. And then the other bit that I caught was Arian said that he thought Grover would really like Jeff Buckley, who I am not super familiar with Jeff Buckley, but apparently whoever was interviewing them knew exactly what song Arian was talking about. And he was like, yes. And Arian was like, you know the song? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, I just think that's so Grover. So check it out. There might be some new music for you to check out in there.
Yeah.
Something new to discover, because there's always someone new to discover these days. But yeah, we will link to that interview in the show notes. You guys can check it out. But, yeah, just a little fun trio activity while they're promoting season 2.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Always like seeing them pop up on our timeline and everything.
Also, when they shared the trailer, I think it was on the Percy series, like, account, the three of them, they shared a video of the three of them watching the trailer.
Oh, okay.
And so it was like, you could watch the trailer, but you could also see the three of them kind of reacting in time.
That's cool.
So maybe check out the Percy series, Insta account, because I'm pretty sure they shared it on there.
That's awesome.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because you could see them all getting, like, ooh and ah over the CGI. Like, oh, that looks so cool.
It looks really good.
It really does.
I mean, this is, like, very high quality CGI. And I'm not surprised given what we had last year, but, like, it's just really nice with all of the monsters, like, how good it still looks.
Well, and, like, I was going to say, this year it's a lot of water and water creatures, and sometimes that can be difficult.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like it's been difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it looks... I'm sure all the animators and the people doing the graphics are like, what are you talking about? It doesn't... But...
It's impossible.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about the trailer, because I feel like we're both kind of itching to get through it. And this is the first official, like, full-length trailer. Obviously, we had the teaser before. This gave us a lot of new scenes, a lot of new moments. I kind of love when trailers give you lots of little clips, because I find it really fun trying to go through and figure out, like, where's this scene coming from? When might we see this? And, like, what's the context for this? It's like putting a puzzle together. So I always really enjoy doing that. The first thing I noticed with the trailer was that Walker looks so much more grown up now.
He does.
And his voice is deeper, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like, he's just grown up so much in such a short amount of time.
It's true.
This is the time when teenagers, like, do that, like, they just have their growth spurts and stuff.
Well, and especially boys, like, they shoot up from these teeny little, you know... 10-year-olds, they just shoot up.
Because even Leah, I feel like she looks, like, pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but Walker, I feel like, has the most change.
The most dramatic, for
yeah,
sure.
Definitely. Yeah. I loved that right in the beginning they're mentioning the prophetic dreams, because, one, that's just a huge part of the Percy Jackson series, and, two, our time is here. That's what we're all about.
Right?
So
yeah.
That's super fun. That, you know, they're incorporating that, which we kind of knew last year anyway, because he had a few, and especially with, like, Kronos.
I was going to say, most of his were visions of Kronos, kind of, but, yeah, we know that Percy's dreams just get more and more, like, insane as this series goes on. So, yeah, it is kind of exciting to see them actually mention it.
Mm-hmm. And when he mentions the, like, prophetic dreams, that's sort of when it cuts to the giant tentacle grabbing Grover, which I think is Scylla, right? Like, Scylla's the one with the tentacles. Charybdis is the one with the big mouth.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... we see the tentacle grabbing Grover, and honestly, I was, like, so sad for Grover, because, like, later in the series, he becomes much more of a BAMF, for lack of a better word, but, like, in the beginning, he is very hesitant, and he is very scared a lot, and, like, he must have been so scared when that tentacle grabbed him and dragged him along the beach.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
But there were three others with him at this time, and so I'm wondering, like, what happened to them? Because I remember with the teaser, we were looking into, like, who they could have been, and I think one is the new character.
Okay.
The person aligned with Luke.
Gotcha.
So are they killed? Do they run back to camp? Like, you know, what's going on there?
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Percy also talks about this guy, you know, or, like, people trying to kill him and stuff like that. And we get a shot of Luke with the sword, but we also get a shot of one of the last Dragonians.
Yes.
Which was also in the teaser, but we get a little bit more from them in this. We see them hurling the, like, fireballs, which were the dodgeballs.
Yes.
Originally. And they're, like, running through the forest. And it looks like, I'm kind of curious how this works out, because in the book, the Last Dragonians are in their gym class, and they're hurling the dodgeballs.
Right.
And the dodgeballs, like, basically turn into, yeah, like, on fire and yeah. stuff. And then they chase Percy and Tyson out of the school. But here, it looks like they're attacking them in the woods right outside camp.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting.
It's a change, for sure.
Yeah.
I will say, I think throughout this trailer, I was a little more surprised by how Tyson was involved in some of it. Like, my brain is having trouble remembering all of the details for Tyson, especially because we have a Tyson from the movie.
Yeah.
And my brain is, like, trying to keep track of book Tyson, like, what did he do, what did they, you know, ignore all of the movie Tyson stuff, because yeah. while some of it may have been accurate, like, we're not dealing with that anymore. So yeah, I was trying to, like, place throughout the trailer every time we saw Tyson, like, where is this from? This does seem to be near camp or,
yeah.
you know, somewhere close, yeah. you know, outside camp or something like that. So yeah.
My guess is, given the context with the rest of the trailer, is that this is supposed to show the barrier between camp and the rest of the world.
Makes sense.
And that they're safe from the Lastragonians, but then Luke poisons the tree and now camp is... So under duress.
That would make sense if they wanted to better illustrate
yeah.
the border. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a little bit, which, like, that kind of change where it, like, smooths out some of that storytelling, I'm okay with that.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
If it makes sense to tell the story visually in that way, I'm fine with those changes.
And who knows how long they chase them. Maybe they chase them from their school all the way to yeah. camp. Like, we don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I also love the cut they do between the Lystragonians and, like, Luke. And, like, the yes. way they cut it is really cool for the trailer. Yeah.
I also like the cut between him about to get attacked and him falling out of
yeah.
bed.
Yeah.
That was really funny. And this room belongs to a boy with ADHD. There are dirty bowls under his bed. It's messy. There are doom piles. There's sticky notes everywhere. And I'm like... You know, you already know Rick knows a lot about ADHD and stuff like that. And so, like, it makes sense that this would be very accurate. But I love that they don't, like, point it out. Like, if you just know, you know. And it's a very good representation of
yeah
what his mind is like and what his room's going to be like.
Definitely.
And I always look for, like, the little hints and details where, like, maybe you'll spot something cool in the background. We did that with season one, too. Like, a lot of the cabins, you could see, like, little hints as to, like, just not necessarily future things, but things that were just related to the story. And I swear, the poster above his desk, I'm pretty sure there's, like, a Pegasus hanging next to the poster, which I thought was really cool.
Love that. I'm gonna have to double and triple check for that because... Yeah.
It was hard to see. Like, I tried to read some of the sticky notes, and they were really hard to read. And I was trying to, like, look at all the posters on his wall. Like, he has one dinosaurs and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, some band ones that I wasn't familiar with.
And then he's got, like, a solar system mobile kind of, like, on the ceiling, too. Yeah. But there's... Yeah. So it's kind of... And it's quick. This is, like, a 1 or 2 second, like, hey.
Yeah. This will be something when we actually get to watch the show, it'll be cool to, like, stop it and look for everything.
Definitely.
And if you guys saw anything that we didn't, let us know.
Yes,
I
definitely.
Love finding out that kind of stuff. So we also learn about this time that Percy had a dream about Grover, but Annabeth had a dream about camp. And I love that they're including her in with, like, all of this.
Because we know she has dreams, too, but we just don't get them because we're not in her head. This, you know, the books are in Percy's head. So, yeah, I really love that we're getting Annabeth telling us about her dreams, too.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's about the time that we get some clips of the chariot race. We see the Stymphalian birds attacking, and they look really cool. Like, they look pretty scary. Their beaks are, like, they kind of look like crows, but their beaks are, like, massive.
Yeah.
And that whole scene I'm really, really looking forward to. I think a lot of people are. It's going to be so good.
Just knowing how much of the production was put into that chariot scene, I'm so excited to see the whole thing in, you know, Technicolor.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, we know they built the whole set. We know they did a lot of their own stunt work. We know, yeah, like, they really went all out for that. And, yeah, that's one of the scenes I think I'm most looking forward to seeing is what they're going to do with the chariot scene.
Yes, and that actually reminds me that that was maybe almost a month ago at this point. I'm pretty sure I posted this to our stories, but I really wanted to read it out. Dan Schatz posted about the guy who helped put this scene together and everything because he died. It says, today we honored a legend. Danny Virtue was laid to rest in front of his entire BC film and TV family. He was a pioneer in the stunt community, a game-changing philanthropist in Vancouver, and a dear friend to me for many years. He was the best horse trainer in the world and designed the most exceptional chariot race for Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Most importantly, he inspired everyone and never let no be an answer. And it goes on to talk a little bit more about, like, this stuff that he's done, and yeah, and so I just thought, like, you know, obviously very sad that he died, but also very cool that he designed this chariot race and that that gets to live on as part of his legacy and everything, so. Yeah,
and probably one of the last few projects or things that are still coming out for him, so, like, that, yeah, that is really...
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
We also get, right after this, a look at the Grey Sisters, which, to me, live up to the hype. We know that this, you know, set, they're all, like, pretty well-known comedians, and we expected them to be pretty funny, and I definitely did laugh out loud during this scene, because Tyson mentions, because they're like, we see everything, and he's like, they only have one eye. And the three of them say, look who's talking, one word at a time. And I was like, that is... hilarious, it's actually.
Perfection.
Yeah. And I, you know, we don't get a lot of them in the series in general. And I remember we were surprised that they got, like, such big comedians to play these roles because it is a very small role. But I think it's going to be worth it.
I mean, if you think about some of the heavy hitters they've gotten to come in and play gods, you know, for a short period of time, I guess maybe that's the fun of it is, like... Mm-hmm. Hey, I get to come in and play a Grey Sister. They're going to put me in all this, like, crazy old lady makeup and, like, do the whole thing. And I get to be there for a week and then I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that is some of the appeal to, like, bigger stars because they can come in and be a part of it without having to, like, be there for the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited that they're still attracting all of these bigger stars for these smaller roles because... It just, yeah, it makes it more fun.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that person's coming in for that? Like, oh, okay, all right. They're going to do a good job.
As the series goes on, we'll continue to get that, which is really exciting. Because you never know who's going to come in to play a bit role for
show. Aphrodite, we were definitely not expecting...
No. Yeah, Kate McKinnon.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's exciting to see who may play some of these later roles, too.
Yeah. And as a side note, because he appears throughout the trailer, I just wanted to talk for a minute about Tyson, because, honestly, he seems exactly what I was hoping for, exactly how I remember him in the book. He's very sweet. He's a little too innocent. He's funny, but he's also, like, protective. We haven't seen the protective side of him yet, but that, like... they only have one eye. And then when they say, look who's talking, and, like, the look on his face afterwards was so funny. I really, really have high hopes for this Tyson. I think he's going to be fantastic.
I do, too. Especially with, like, Walker having grown so much, they needed somebody to play Tyson who was, like, big enough to look... bigger than Walker, even after Walker's growth spurt. And they really found the right guy. So, like, I'm very excited to see... Tyson in full action mode in some of the later scenes of the second season.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I remember thinking in the movie that Tyson's eye looked kind of weird. And, I mean, it's always going to look kind of weird because we're not used to seeing somebody with an eye in the middle of their head.
Yes.
But I think I like his look a little bit more than, like, the movie look. Obviously, like, CGI and stuff has come a long way since then. So
yeah.
I'm very interested to see how they continue to play around with it, especially because that's not the only Cyclops we see in this trailer or in this season.
Definitely.
The next part is Luke stabbing the tree. We've talked before about how this is different than in the book, but honestly, I think, again, it's a change that makes sense. It makes it feel much more dramatic, I think, for him to stab the tree this way. And when Annabeth says, like, he poisoned her, she doesn't say he poisoned the tree that's protecting camp. She basically says he poisoned Thalia. and you can just tell how much Annabeth cares about Thalia, specifically, and the emotion in, like, Leah's voice, even in that one sentence, was like, oh, this is gonna hit hard, I think.
Yeah, and you can tell that she has either just kind of caught them up, especially Tyson, who doesn't know what's going on, or, like, is about to, because, like, that whole thing is kind of contained. Like, you can feel that you're gonna get the explanation of, it's not just a tree, it's, you know, she sacrificed, and I can't believe he would do this, you know, all of that. So, like,
And we know, like, they talked about this in season one, but if I'm remembering, we didn't get, like, a flash... We got a flashback, I think, of Grover and Luke and Leah.
Like, him defending Leah?
Yeah, Annabeth, we keep mixing up what we're saying. They're just the same.
They're the same. Characters, actors, what are we doing?
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Like, we... But I don't think we saw... Maybe we saw, like, a shadow or, like...
Like, we may have gotten a glimpse of something.
Like, the actress, because we didn't have the actress
yet. The focus was on Grover and Annabeth and Luke. It wasn't on Thalia, even though she was included in the story... She was not the focus of it yet, and this season will get the focus.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping for another flashback. Like, I'm hoping for a little bit more of a specific kind of thing. I think that'll be really cool. We also see Grover tied up, and then we see a shot of Polyphemus with a shepherd's hook, which makes sense. And he's, of course, the Cyclops. And also, did you realize that Grover is sending... Percy postcards from his travels? Like, I think that's what that was on the mirror, because it said something like from whatever city, and it was like Grover in front of this skyline being like, hey, like, well, I guess it's not necessarily a postcard, but like a picture.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, on his travels looking for Pan, he's still sending things to Percy, and like,
I love that so much. Well, because I think one of the things from the books that maybe felt it hurt a little was that, like, Grover went off on his own and wasn't there for so much of book two because he's, you know, off on Polyphemus' island and is, you know, being held captive. They have Iris messaging, but other than that, there's no great way to keep in touch. It's not like they have cell phones and can just call each other, because that doesn't work. So, like... That is the perfect, it's the perfect little, like, still thinking of you, like, I know you can't send me things, but I'm sending you things, and I'll reach out to you, you know, as soon as I can via Iris message, and we'll catch up, or whatever. Like, I like that it kind of keeps Grover actively included in the camp activity, even if it's just him sending pictures and messages and stuff.
Yeah, and I think for Percy's sake, you know, it's Grover still on top of his mind. And, you know, obviously I think this is going to be a good transition of, like, oh, I really miss him. Also, I had this dream about him getting kidnapped and Satyr-napped and all of that kind of stuff. And, sorry, my brain just went down. Isn't, like, a baby goat called a kid anyway?
It is.
So, like, it would still be kidnapped.
It is.
Sorry, I got so distracted for a second. Anyway, that's actually hilarious. Okay,
it is.
So... Yeah, it keeps him at the forefront of the story for our sake, but also for Percy's sake in terms of, like, his characterization and just thinking about him. And I think it also puts emphasis on the fact that, like, these two guys have been best friends for a while now. Last year was kind of up and down for them because Percy discovered that Grover was hiding a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, they still remained best friends. And now we see, okay, they're separated again, but that doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
And we know that the reason why Percy has those visions of Grover is because of their, like, emotional connection. And so I think this is just going to be a good way to, like, keep all of that at the forefront of the story.
Agreed.
Switching characters completely, Clarice, who might just be the opposite of Grover in every which way, looks so badass in trailer. She looks fierce in every single shot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's at one point a side-by-side shot of her with her spear and Annabeth with her dagger. and they're on the ship. I'm assuming they're, like, side by side about to fight, like, Luke or his, like, minions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my god, they look so good next to each other. Like, these two
ferocious
warriors.
Yeah.
Fighting side by side. I really love that visual.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think Clarice looks absolutely incredible in the shots in this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Clarice. She's very stern. She's very strong. She's very determined. You know, it's all the things you would expect from her storyline in this book. There's so much with Clarice's story that I'm curious how they're going to play it out, with how intense the stuff between her and her dad's going to be and all that.
We get one shot of him in this trailer, and it's kind of a funny moment, and, like, you know, it's whatever, but, are they going to go hard on what's actually happening?
Yeah, that's the question, really, is, like, how... Because they didn't really shy away from some of the more, like, the more sensitive issues and stuff in the first season, necessarily, like... The whole thing with Percy and his mom and, like, all of that. Like, I'm curious how deep into the relationship between Aries and Clarice we will get.
Yeah.
Because it seems like she's going through some stuff. With those faces. Like, she delivers a look like none other. But, yeah. Like, it feels like she's really going through it. And I'm very, very interested to see how they handle all of that.
Yeah, definitely. Because they could, you know, the book showed us a bit of what Aries is really like, and I think as adults in particular, we can kind of interpret what's going on maybe a little bit more than, like, kids, because I don't know that I 100% picked up on that even when I read it, like, way back the first time.
Definitely.
And I'm very curious if they are going to go down that route or not, but... Either way, Aries and Clarice are in the same space.
Yes.
And that is going to be very interesting regardless. Speaking of badass ladies, we also see Thalia with a spear and the Aegis. So that's her shield with Medusa's face on it. And I'm really curious, will we get to see that transformed from her bracelet?
Right. Because
that would be awesome. I mean, great CGI. I think that would be really cool.
I mean, that would be a moment. Like, that's, you know, it's Riptide. It's watching the pen become a sword. And, you know, so I don't know. Maybe we won't see it. But, like, I feel like that's one of those things that they kind of have to do.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really cool. Now, this is another one of those moments where, like, I paused to look at where she was. Because, honestly, for a second, I thought this could have been a flashback scene. And wasn't one of the short stories... Remember the short story where they, like, go into the house and there's, like, the Greek fire and all of that? Like, that was one of the, like... precursor short stories with Thalia, with Luke, I'm pretty sure, and Annabeth, and Grover. I thought maybe this was, like, from that, and I got kind of excited, but this is 100% one of the cabins. Like, I didn't recognize it from season one. I think that this is from the end of the season, and I don't know who those two figures are walking in. I think one of them might be Percy. The one on the left looked like it could maybe be, but I wasn't sure who the other one was.
Okay.
It could be Grover. I don't know. Why isn't Annabeth there? I don't know. But I'm thinking that this is, like, from the end of the series.
Yeah.
Either that or, I mean, I guess it could also be a flashback where, like, she's just in a cabin way earlier on, but...
In case you're having trouble seeing some of these moments, I will say that Percy Series put out some stills from it.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of using those as you were going through because they did hit on a lot of the stuff we've been talking about.
Nice.
Which it just helps to, like, take a moment to see it.
Yeah.
And the still they took of Thalia is literally the close up of her with the spear and the Aegis.
Right.
So you can get a really good shot of that. But I'm trying to look at the room around her, you can see, like, the roof line kind of looks like a wood, like a cabin wood. But there's not a whole lot behind her in this still. So it's like, you know, it's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of see either some sort of wall hanging or, like, some like rungs on a ladder or something?
I think that's a ladder. And okay. I think that's like the Hermes cabin.
Which would make sense.
Yeah, right, because she doesn't have her own cabin because right. she's Zeus's daughter.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so like it wouldn't surprise me if this was at the end of the season and mm-hmm. that this was like after she comes out of the tree. And
is healed and, yeah. and all of that, yeah. Which also, because if you guys remember in the movie, we kind of just see her and then the movie sort of ends, so that means maybe there's an after moment now where like we actually get to like interact with her a little bit or something.
Yeah, because they're playing a little bit fast and loose with what they need to give you so that you know who Thalia is by the end of this, so that when we pick up in season 3 they don't have to like reiterate who Thalia is. Like, you had all of that introduction at the end of season 2,
right?
So yeah.
That makes very cool. Sense. She looks amazing, though. I am so excited.
She's every bit the fierce, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so next quick shot that I wanted to talk about was that rock moving and Annabeth kind of scrambling back, looking shocked. And the rock is, like, clearly they're near the ocean. The rock is, like, what you would expect next to, like, some ocean type thing, and it has like starfish and seaweed and stuff on it, and I'm thinking, like, could this be some sort of god who's kind of forming out of the rock? Like, because we know they do throughout the series come up against a few different like ocean gods, minor deities mm-hmm. and stuff, so that's the only thing I could think about. Or potentially it could be one of the monsters.
Or, like, one of her visions, like...
Yeah.
Like, does it morph? Like, we see the rock, but, right. like, in the CGI, it will shift to something else that she's seeing. Like, yeah. Because she definitely has a look of alarm on her yeah. face.
I was curious, too, if it was potentially, like, a vision, or if that was happening, like, in real time.
Yeah.
Okay, but speaking of rocks, at one point there's a shot of them, I assume on the ship, and we get, like, Cronus's voiceover, and we also get a shot of another rock. It's black with, like, gold striations, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming that this is Cronus's sarcophagus.
It's gotta be, right?
Right? I pictured, like, an actual tomb-looking thing, not just, like, a hunk of stone. But I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't what I was expecting.
Well, I'm curious if this is, like, in its most, like, basic form. Because we know as he, like, possesses Luke, he gets stronger and things get cleaner and crisper. Like, so I'm wondering if, like, this is the very beginning you're seeing this. And then eventually we'll see the sarcophagus, like, looking more impressive. But for right now, this is what the outside looks like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know it... It just looks like a gold inlay, almost. Like, it's like, it just looks like rock, really.
Yeah, and it doesn't really have any discernible shape.
No.
But also, if he was imprisoned in this, maybe they don't give him something nice looking, you right. know? Maybe they just, like, throw him inside a rock.
Right. They don't want you to know, this is a sarcophagus. This is where he is. Like, no. Yeah, that would make some sense.
So then we jump into the next scene where we see this woman winking at the camera, and there are some couple of women in the background. It looks like a very godly sort of space. And I was like, who's this supposed to be? And for a second I was like, is this Aphrodite? But like, that doesn't make sense. It's definitely not Athena. Like, mm-hmm. what's going on? And then we get the shot of the guinea pig,
yep.
which is Percy as a guinea pig, I'm assuming. So yep. this must be Circe.
It's gotta be, right?
Which, like, I really like her look. I really, like, the vibe she's giving off is, like, kind of bubbly, happy.
Yeah.
And then, but if you know that there's a lot more going on here, which I think is super interesting.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. It gives you, you know, we know the island. We know how the island comes off at first. Mm-hmm. We know how that, so, like, it fits right in. And when you see the guinea pig, it definitely, like, gives you it's the confirmation you need. Yeah. Also, I saw that the guinea pig that's playing Percy, his name is Vanilla. Which I just thought was really
cute. That's so cute.
And I needed you to know that.
Yes, thank you.
It popped up as I was just scrolling through Insta, and I was like, this isn't actually news. Like, I'm not going to bring it up as casting news because... It's a guinea pig named Vanilla, but I was like, there will be a moment when we talk about the trailer that I can tell you that his name is Vanilla.
And that is so cute. It just, I love that.
Very happy.
That's amazing.
And they did, I think it was... I don't think it was the official Percy series account. I think it was, like a fan account.
Yeah.
Actually made, like, a casting announcement for Vanilla, okay. And it was cute. That's why I was like, okay.
By the way, this just reminded me, when the girls were here, we went to the zoo. And by the way, did I tell you that we rode on the train?
No.
We never ride on the train. Like, Kevin and I, when you and I have gone, we've never ridden on the train.
Yeah.
And, like, the girls were adamant. They were like, we want to go on the train. And I was like, really? Like, okay, whatever. They're like, we'll pay for it, blah, blah, blah. Super glad I did, by the way. And Kevin laughed at me because he's like, I haven't been on that since I was, like, 8. And I was like, whatever. I didn't know they tell you fun facts about all the animals and stuff. Like, it's like a little guided tour, and you get to kind of see, like, there's camels, there's ostriches, there's some other animals that you get to see kind of up close. And they were telling us all the names, and they were like, and that one's Rosalie, and that one's, I think one was Renesmee, another one was Jacob. And I started laughing, and Kevin's like, what? And I'm like... That's Twilight. Like, how do you not know this?
They named him after Twilight.
Yeah, there's like, and there's one animal named Nico, and I was like, please tell me he's named Nico because of Percy Jackson. Because
someone is a Percy fan.
I didn't ask, but I'm just going to assume that's what's going
on. I mean, I would assume that. That's fair. It's totally fair.
Okay, so we kind of go through all these quick shots, and then we get to some, like, battle scenes. And one of them is the campers fighting... Luke and all the people on his side. And at one point, I think he, like, throat punches Percy, and Percy kind of falls to his knees and falls over. And that gave me chills. Like, it was so intense. It's so scary to see him like that.
Yeah.
And we also get Hermes saying, you can't give up on your family, which is so layered in so many ways because of his relationship with Luke. We see Percy hugging his mom, which is really interesting. We see Poseidon kind of coming out, giving him sage advice.
A lot of parents in here, notably absent Athena.
Yes.
But we see a lot of the others. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we do see Ares not too far before this. You see a glimpse of Ares, too. So it's like you see Percy and Poseidon. You see Hermes and not Luke together, but, like, you see that moment.
Yeah.
And then you've got Ares in there, too. It's like, okay, all right. There's a lot of godly parents
which
involved in this one. Yeah,
kind of the theme of the series is, like, how parents, you know, parents' relationship with their kids and how to repair them and stuff like that. And I think Toby Stevens plays Poseidon really, really well because he is very likable. In season one, despite everything, I think he's very likable. And I'm also very curious that heart-to-heart with Hermes. I'm guessing that's probably from the very beginning of the series, but we don't know that for sure.
I was going to say, I think so.
Yeah.
From, like, I don't remember where I heard this, but, like, Lin did most of his shooting, I think, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because that's when they were doing more of the beginning of the season stuff. Right. So, like, I want to say that that's from the beginning.
Yeah. I also wonder, too, if this is a little bit of a, like, hey, you've got a half-brother now. You know, give him a chance.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't give up on family and stuff like that. So that's just all very interesting. We also get Percy saying, I'm not going to let some stupid monster stand in my way. And this is the end of the trailer. 100% gave me chills. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was so exciting. The battle scenes between the one on the field and the one in the water with, like, Clarice's ship, she's firing some crazy gun. There's explosions. The waves are going crazy. The battle scenes are so intense, like out of a war movie.
Yeah.
And I think it just kind of puts emphasis on what these kids go through. And we've talked about that a lot. It's like, these books are super funny. They're kind of ridiculous at times. But, like, these kids have been through it. And I love that the show is depicting that.
Like, they're going through it. Their friends die in these stories. Like, you know, unnamed campers, but these are people they see on a daily basis
and
die in
this
battle.
Could be the scene where Tyson, quote-unquote, dies.
It could, yes, yeah. Very well could be. Yeah, these scenes are gritty. Like, they're really
yes,
very realistic
word.
And just, yeah. The one, there's like a one shot in this trailer that they actually linger on for probably a whole 5 seconds, but it feels long compared to all the 1 second mm-hmm. shots we've had so far, where Percy is like on Ironside and he's like stumbling down the ship
yeah.
and you get this whole thing where you're seeing like the monster in the background and like, the way they shot this season has me so excited to see it like not in an Insta post.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited to watch it on my big screen at home
mm-hmm.
and, like, see all those crazy CGI
yeah.
details.
Because that same scene, like, as you're seeing that, like, somebody falls off the boat screaming.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just so intense. Like, it's not, like, it is like a war movie, how
yeah.
intense it is. And that my favorite part, and I mean, this is giveaway my favorite moment, but I'll talk about it now, is when he's on the front of the ship. And he's having a little bit of trouble, but he gets up on his feet and he stands up there. And then this wave comes in and he just turns his head and takes it and then turns back without moving the rest of his body. And I'm like, whoa, like he is locked in.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's about to probably pull on his powers and
I was gonna
get
say,
them out of there or battle whatever they're fighting or like any
this is
of
like
that.
Like leveled up Percy.
Yes,
from,
exactly.
Yeah, like he's starting to really be able to use his power as
yeah.
opposed to still figuring it out like he was in most of first season.
And I'm pretty sure after Cersei's Island, which this scene might be, but I'm pretty sure after Cersei's Island, like, that's kind of how they escape, is, like, he basically moves the boat, and, like,
yeah.
it's, like, top speed, and it's the first time where he, like, really digs down, and it's not just, you know, moving some water from a toilet, like,
right.
he's, like, controlling parts of the ocean water, and
yeah.
you just realize how incredibly powerful he actually is.
Like, he uses his power a little bit in season one, but not, he doesn't draw on massive amounts of water. He's not trying to control the ocean. He's
mm-hmm.
not, you know, so yeah, this is Percy leveled up. It's us seeing just how much stronger he is, how much he's been training, how much he has been working on this, so like, yeah. Yeah.
It's really
exciting. It's really
cool.
It's
yeah.
really cool.
Honestly gave me, like, full body chills.
Yeah.
This trailer did a few times, so...
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. Hey, I just realized it's November 9th, which means we're basically a month out.
Isn't this when we said the trailer was coming
I mean, that is true.
We kind
yeah.
of called it.
Yeah. So that was 100% my favorite moment from the trailer. What was yours?
I think it's hard because
it
there's so many good moments.
And they give you, like, so many little clips that there really is a lot to choose from.
I think it's gotta be Thalia.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see her and Annabeth
mm-hmm.
and, like, how that works. And,
even
like,
Percy and Thalia, like, their, like, banter
oh,
and
yeah.
stuff is pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Super excited to see them, too. But, like,
yeah.
The Annabeth-Thalia stuff and then with the complication of Luke...
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how much of the flashbacks we're going to see. Maybe not this season. We might get a couple. But, like, we know into next season, like, we get some good flashbacks.
That's the tough part is to really get into, like, Thalia, we have to wait until season 3.
Yeah. Like, that's where we're going to get the majority of Thalia's story.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, we're going to get a great taste this season. We're going to start that ball a rolling. But, like, next season's going to be all her all the time, pretty much. But, yeah, I'm really excited to see how they incorporate her relationship with Annabeth, her relationship with Luke, how that's going to affect our trio, and, like, just, yeah. We know how it worked in the book, and I like that we don't necessarily know exactly how things are going to play out on screen because they have had to make a few minor changes in the past. I'm sure they're going to have to continue to do that, so it's exciting to see, like, what they're going to do with it.
Yeah. I had a few follow-up, like, questions, I guess. Just, like, throwing some things out there about things we didn't see. We already talked about the wedding dress, so I won't bring that up.
Okay.
Because
in these stills
yeah.
on Percy series, there is not a full body shot of it, but you can see his shoulder.
Really? Oh. Is that...
It's just Grover. It's just a shoulder of this dress. And it looks like he threw it on over his clothes. At least that's what it appears. Again, it's just a shoulder. Right. But it does kind of... I'm very excited to see, like, the rest of it. But we get, like, a teensy little bit of...
And they do label it the dress.
Yeah. So, it's not a glimpse. It's a glimpse. It's not a full shot. We don't know what it looks like. Because, honestly, from this angle, they could have gone full, like, white wedding dress. Like, you can't really tell. Or they could have gone more of, like, a sari kind of thing,
right.
too. Because I know there was some talk about, like, with Aryan... How are they going to handle, like, how are they going to do, like, his kind of wedding dress? Like,
right.
something his culture would use? Or are they going to use, like, a typical, what you imagine as a wedding dress?
Right.
There's a lot of, like, leeway there that they can use all kinds of things.
I kind of like the idea of, like, some, like, crazy hodgepodge dress that he's just, like, thrown together and looks like Frankenstein's monster. Like
Right, like, he's taking whatever he can to kind of, I like that idea, too.
Yeah.
So... I'm excited. I want to see the whole thing. Come on, Rick.
I know. But also, I think it'll be so much more satisfying waiting until the actual show.
It's almost hilarious that this is the thing they've chosen to keep secret. But it's like, it gives us all something very obvious to focus on that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Like, they got to give us all these extra little bits about, like, Tyson and Thalia. We got all those glimpses in the trailer. But they're holding out on the wedding dress.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's really cute.
I also want to know, speaking of Grover and everything, like, will we see the Council of Cloven Elders again? Which I would really like to, because that was, like, something that is talked about in the book, but I feel like the show gave us a visual that we hadn't gotten before and a little bit more of, like, what that's like. And I feel like that could be really cool.
I'm also interested to know kind of how they kick off season two. Like, are we going to get kind of a little bit of a, here's how Grover left camp.
Right.
Here's how Percy was in school. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious how they're going to kick this season off and kind of get things rolling. Because we know pretty quick, like, how it's going to go once it gets rolling. But, yeah, like, what kind of flashbacks will we maybe get to, you know, Grover leaving and all that stuff?
Yeah. We kind of did already talk about Clarice. I'm curious how she be portrayed this season, what her relationship will be like with the others, because at this point, Clarice is, like, not really the bully anymore. I mean, she kind of is, but, like, you're starting to see why she is the way she is. And that scene of her standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder with Annabeth getting ready to fight tells me that, like, she's coming a long way in, you know, what she thinks is the right thing to do and doing that thing. So
definitely
I'm excited about that.
Also, hopefully we're gonna get some Clarice, like, character moments when she's on her, like, we know the Percy side of it because we've read that in the book, but, like, we've gotten a few scenes outside of Percy's perspective.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see the Clarice side of her quest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe we actually get some moments of her being frustrated and figuring it out and all of that. So
yeah, I think that could be really cool. And I think those moments, if they come with Aries, will tell us a whole lot more about what's going on and why she is the way she is. So
definitely
looking forward to that. Also, I'm really excited for the siren scene. I think that's going to be cool. We didn't, as far as I know, see that yet, unless that, like, rock thing was sort of that moment. We don't really know, but
it, again, that moment tells you so much about Annabeth. It tells you so much about, you know, her history and all of that, that, yeah, it's one of those big moments that seeing that come out, seeing that portrayed on film will be really, really interesting, and will be very telling for Annabeth.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's something that I don't feel like we got a good enough, when they did it in the movies, wasn't the focus. They were going for, like, the action movie kind of thing. Whereas here, we're really banking on character development.
Yes, yeah.
This series has always been heavy on why they're doing it, not just, oh, look at the cool thing we're doing.
Right.
So I'm very, very excited to see them tackle that.
And that's one of the benefits of doing a TV series anyway, is that you get more time for those moments where things are gonna make more sense.
Yeah.
And you get, like, a better hint at background stuff. And even, like, the dynamic between Annabeth and Tyson, which was not hinted at all in the trailer, is something I'm also looking forward to, because she grows a lot as a person as Tyson kind of sticks around.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
So much to look forward to. We've got 1 month left. In a way, I'm glad my life is super chaotic right now because I don't even have the capacity to think about this show, but I am very excited for what's coming up. And hopefully, you know, it's going to be great.
I was going to say, before you know it, it'll be your birthday. And yeah. then it'll be Thanksgiving. And then it'll be December. And it'll be like, we've got a week. And
yeah. Boom. And then we'll be scrambling to figure out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Love it.
Love it, love it. Prophecy Radio is produced by Subjectify Media. You can contact Prophecy Radio directly on Instagram at Prophecy Radio Podcast or email us at prophecyradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can find us and our episodes on Spotify, Apple, or any of your favorite podcast platforms. Please consider leaving us a review or a rating. 5-star reviews really help, and they help others to find us. You can leave us questions, comments, ideas for content you want to hear from us in any of those places. I don't have any specific feedback, but I do want to say thank you to anybody who sent pictures in, because yeah. I think we did have a couple of people who sent photos and said, I'm so sorry, and all of that. So I do want to say thank you guys for that, and it all does help, and we love seeing your critters anyway, yeah. just because. So, yeah, I'm speaking for Karen.
That's okay.
But yeah, so we will be on the lookout for feedback from the trailer. We're really excited to see your thoughts. Is there anything we missed? All of that, we'll be on the lookout, and we'll definitely address that in our next episode, in which we will be talking about Percy Jackson and the Olympians, Season 1. We're going to revisit. We're going to look back and kind of do a bit of a deep dive into all the things and remind us what we saw and yeah. all that stuff.
And the threads that they may have left hanging, I'm curious. That way we kind of see maybe what they'll pick up on in Season 2 and all that kind of stuff.
Basically, we're just going to talk about how excited we are yeah. and all the things that we're hoping to see and all the stuff they still need to wrap up. And yeah. So, I mean, we just can't get enough.
That's it's just an excuse to watch the show again, let's be real.
It is, it definitely is. So yeah, we're excited to dig into more and more of the show as we anticipate its arrival in just a month. Just about a month.
Yeah.
But yeah, until next time, this is Kristen.
And I'm Karen.
And we're Prophecy Radio signing off. Over and out.